There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode of the Raptors Over Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets. Order yours online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors 118-101 win over the Phoenix Suns. And Pascal was very good in this one. Pascal was very good. It's, first came back from, a 9-day break for most of the players. Obviously, Pascal and Kyle played in the All-Star game, and Nick and the coaching staff were there, minus Sergio Scariolo, who I think continues to be in Spain with the national team. There's been a long layoff. You expect guys to be a little bit rusty, and early on, it seemed to be one of those games where, there's a lot of uncharacteristic turnovers. Defensively, it wasn't as sound as you would normally expect from the Raptors. But it was very short-lived. Maybe the first 5 minutes were sloppy. After that point, Pascal Siakam took over. And, I'll just start. First off, Pascal has 37 points tonight with 12 rebounds, 3 blocks. A really, really nice night for Pascal overall. But the biggest thing with Pascal, not even necessarily with the skill and everything like that, even though a lot of that was promising, but it was just the energy. The energy in this game is completely different today. I don't know if it's just the All-Star break rejuvenating him. There's a couple of games there, before the, coming into sort of the All-Star break where he kind of looked like he was out of gas. Not to single him out because it wasn't just Pascal, but man, did you watch that Nets game? That fourth quarter of that Nets game, Pascal was dragging his feet, barely involved, didn't want the ball that much. And there were a couple games like that where Pascal had just his endurance in terms of as a number one guy has not necessarily been as high as you would normally expect. Obviously, last year, Pascal, and pretty much every season up to this point, has sort of been the energizer bunny. And we know what Pascal can do when he has, a full tank. And it just seemed like Pascal was not able to get to that full tank. After this break, after this layoff, obviously he played in the game, but after getting some time off, Pascal looks amazing, man. Pascal looked amazing. This is one of his best games of the season. I know, it's whatever. It's the Suns. They don't have a guy to guard him. They don't really play great team defense. But, man, Pascal just, it was noticeably different what he did tonight. His energy reminded, this game reminded me a lot of actually his game on opening night against the New Orleans Pelicans, where on ring night, Pascal comes out and he gives you 35-18. Tonight, kind of similar, 37-12 with the blocks. And, Pascal's at his best when he can give you this two-way production where it's not even just he's going to score, but he's also going to give it to you on the defensive end. And Pascal, at his very best when he's energized, when he's motivated, when he's good to go and everything like that, when he's rested, this guy can impact both ends of the floor. That's why he is a guy who is talked about as a superstar, because he has his level of impact. I thought he was really good tonight. And really, it was Pascal who kind of got this game going in terms of just for the Raptors, breaking through that barrier offensively. He was... the face-up game was working for him. The jumpers were working for him. He hit 5 threes tonight. Every time he hits 5 threes, it's a 30-point game, period. You're just not going to stop him from the other parts of the game. And when he knocks down that jumper, when he has that face-up game going, that face-up game, honestly, is probably the difference between the Raptors being a very good club and the Raptors being an elite club. And that ability to play face-up consistently. Maybe it's part of... It's probably due to the fatigue and the toll sort of taken on his body and, of course, the injury to his groin. But, that face-up game had sort of been lost for Pascal. He's been doing a lot of back-to-the-basket, post-up, slow down the offense, stuff like that. And it's okay. He can post up. He can score. He can get his buckets in isolation. But it just makes you a lot more dynamic when you have that face-up element of your game. And Pascal tonight, man, that face-up game, he had a number of pull-up threes, like, and it was like from start to finish. Like, it was just he had, I would say, that his best bucket of the night. I mean, he's 37 points, a lot of plays, and a couple of plays in crunch time. Just sort of seal it for the Raptors. But his best play of the night for me is that, you know, he did a, he kind of like crossed over and did like a big step back, I think against Dario Saric, who, as you imagine, Herbie had a very fun time pronouncing all the, you know, characters in that name. But, yeah, I mean, Pascal stepped back on Dario Saric, hit the pull-up three, and he had a couple of pull-up threes where in the pick and roll, you know, the defenders would sag, and he would just, there was no hesitation, nothing. He would just rise up and shoot the three. And what's funny about Pascal shooting the three is that, this is something that Alex noted, is that, you know, Pascal will go through shoot-around, and he just looks rusty. I don't know. He'll, like, be loosey-goosey, miss some shots and things like that, and you always think, wow, man, the shoot-around, it's looking tough for him. But then somehow he always goes into the game and performs and hits everything. I don't really quite get that part about his game. But, yeah, Pascal was really, really good tonight. He sort of set the tone for the Raptors on both ends of the floor, really. You know, defensively, like, he was really good there, too. And, again, that's where the energy comes in, because we know Pascal can be an impactful defender, even though Pascal's had moments where he's been, you know, had a couple of lapses and things like that. He's still contesting a ton of threes. He's still among the leaders in that front. He's still guarding multiple positions, you know, guarding point guards, guarding centers. He started the game today guarding Booker. He blocked a three early in the game. And, you know, he was just consistently a factor around the basket in terms of just collecting loose balls and in terms of rotating and contesting shots at the rim. Just the overall energy was just much improved. And really, just maintaining that energy, sustaining that energy is so key. Because if Pascal can play at this level, you know, this is, yeah, the Raptors go really, really damn far. Pascal played amazing tonight. He played like a superstar tonight. That's for damn sure. But, yeah, Pascal sort of set the tone early, you know. And, you know, the Raptors just kind of pulled ahead from there. The second quarter, Raptors offensively, you know, really sort of just was able to play on the fast break. The Raptors are getting stops defensively. I thought Terrence Davis was really good in the second quarter there. Terrence playing in transition, getting Kyle a couple of assists just by leaking out and Kyle finding the breakaway guy, because he always does that. He loves playing fast. And Terrence, you know, even just sneaking back door and pulling out for three and everything like that, it was just Terrence Davis, honestly, he played that Norman Powell role to perfection. Like, that's sort of his role now that Norm has been hurt, is they need a guy who can come in off the bench and give you scoring and be aggressive with his offense, play off the ball and attack, and when he's really feeling a play on the ball. And that's basically what Terrence Davis is doing. You know, the 14 points in 25 minutes with three rebounds and an assist, a steal. A lot of that scoring came in the second quarter where the Raptors won 36-20. And so the Raptors, you know, yeah, I mean, they overcame a little bit of a sluggish start, and they really sort of pulled ahead and had control of the game. And really, it was only in the third quarter where things kind of got weird. And I won't say weird in the sense that officiating seemed to really get to the Raptors. You know, this is a stretch where Kyle sort of picked up a technical, and Nick Nurse picked up a technical, and it was just, it was odd. You know, it was very odd. And most importantly, Serge Ibaka picked up like four fouls in the quarter, in the third quarter, and he sit for majority of the second half because he couldn't play with five fouls. But yeah, that seemed to really sort of slow the Raptors down offensively and sort of got the Raptors out of their game defensively too, because, you know, a couple of things are going on. I thought defensively, the Raptors sort of just let up their guard a little bit, which it's to be expected when you're up like 25 at halftime. Like, you know, it's kind of natural to sort of ease up a little bit. And, you know, the Suns were able to get out and transition a little bit more. They're able to sort of attack the Raptors' defense when it wasn't set. And even when the Raptors did get set, you know, the rotations weren't necessarily as crisp. But also, it seemed like the Raptors were sort of like, I don't know, man, shooting themselves in the foot. Like, one thing with Kyle is that, like, obviously Kyle goes after the referees all the time. He goes after them every single game. And that's normal. Like, this is just what Kyle Lowry does. He hounds and he begs for every call and everything like that. And that's, you know, kind of his way to sort of stay involved. And that's sort of the edge he likes to play with. But at the same time, you know, there are times where Kyle is sort of so wrapped up in that game that it kind of screws up the balance for the rest of the team. Don't forget, he's the floor general for the club. And it's not something that Kyle played a bad game tonight. He finished with 13 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, but the turnovers were a little uncharacteristic. You know, he had some early on, sort of really got the Raptors off to a bit of a slow start offensively. And just uncharacteristic ones where he would throw lazy passes, and usually it was Ricky Rubio picking it off and going the other way. But just Kyle sort of, you know, getting got really frustrated with the officials, and, you know, sort of playing to sort of the whistle and trying to, like, spite the whistle almost. And you know, this is something where we've seen out of Kyle in previous years, that that streak where, you know, he kind of loses control. He hasn't really done it this year, which so I really got to commend Kyle, because, you know, he's been really under control with that. But, yeah, it felt like, you know, the game kind of became a little bit sloppy. And, of course, Serge fouling, basically getting into very significant foul trouble was definitely a problem, because it forced the Raptors to go to their backup centers. And, yeah, you know, the Suns pulled back in. They won the third quarter 35-26. And it didn't necessarily create, like, a tight finish, because the Raptors are pretty comfortably ahead, like 7 to 10 points usually. But, you know, the Suns were kind of lingering around. You know, they would hit occasional corner threes, and it was like, all right, well, the Raptors got to bring the starters back in. And to their credit, the starters came back in, and they finished the job. I mean, really, Serge Ibaka came back in, and it seemed like everything else was stabilized. You know, Rondé, I thought, did a really good job, you know, and did his best at center. Obviously, he's playing out of position playing center, but he played with a lot of heart. He defended really hard. He defended really well, to be honest. But offensively, there are concerns with Rondé playing, and sort of what that does offensively to your team in terms of a guy who's not really shooting the ball much and not really finishing that much around the basket. And of course, you know he's just it's a problem because Marc Gasol's out, and Marc Gasol is a guy who should be the starting center for this team. He should be out there organizing the defense, should be out there creating plays and being a positive two-way player. But the recent update from Nick Nurse went from Mark is going to be back very soon to Mark, well, hopefully we get him back before the playoffs and get him 8 to 12 games, which is definitely a difference in the prognosis. But yeah, so the Raptors had to bring the starters back in. And once Serge Ibaka came back into the game, though, it really did feel like everything was stabilized. The Raptors had a legitimate center on the floor, someone who could guard Ayton, someone who can guard DeAndre Ayton, someone who could win that DeAndre Ayton matchup. And, yeah, I mean, I thought Serge played really well. I mean, first off, the KFC bucket of the game has to be Serge Ibaka checks into the game. Kyle Lowry, they're running on a fast break. They don't even have numbers. Really, I think it was an even fast break. Maybe there were more defenders back, but Kyle Lowry finds Serge Ibaka on the wing. Serge Ibaka, fresh off the bench, no hesitation whatsoever, pulls up for three on the wing and banks in a three. I doubt that was the intention, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it was definitely a big three there. The Raptors got another three on the following possession to sort of stretch the lead, force the Suns into the timeout. And after that, the Raptors played a lot better defensively. I thought Serge was really good at deterring shots around the rim. The OG was really good at that. Pascal was really good at that. And then, yeah, they got on the fast break and they scored. Kyle leading the fast break, usually finding OG, finding Pascal, Pascal finding OG. And pretty much that was that. The Raptors just had to make one hard push and beat the Suns. And, you know, that's what you kind of expect, really. The Raptors are a really damn good team. The Suns are better than previous years, but they're still not a very good team. And they're on the road, and the Raptors, you know, took it to a level defensively where the Suns couldn't match it. And that's it. That's the game. But, you know, it was an interesting game. Like, even though the final score, you know, the Raptors winning by 17, there were some moments in the second half where there was uncertain or sort of ragged play. But for the most part, you know, a solid win. You know, the Raptors get to 41-15 on the season. You know, and they have a couple home games here, you know, against Indiana and against Milwaukee. And so some tougher tests ahead. But for the most part, no complaints. They started the second half on a very, very strong note. I thought a couple things on the game before I get to three stars and everything like that. I thought defensively the Raptors had a really good game plan. You know, the key to stopping the Suns is stopping Devin Booker. The Suns actually did a really good job early in the season, sort of spreading the possession and letting everyone play with the ball. It seemed like in this game, and it just seemed like the Suns really fixated on playing through Booker. And so, you know, the Raptors just did a really good job of limiting Booker in the pick and roll. Like, he had 21 points and 8 assists, but he was a minus 24 in 34 minutes. And a lot of that was just the Raptors forced him into positions where the Raptors were going to be at an advantage, in the sense that coming out to pick and roll, the Raptors sent two guys at Booker. You know, they usually had length on him, either in the form of OG or in the form of Pascal Siakam. they put length on him, and then they trapped him off the pick and roll with the center coming up to help. So this really took away the middle of the floor because it's just hard for Booker to pass over all that length. And so they kind of like forced Booker basically to consistently kick it out to shooters. And the Raptors actually did a really good job, not only just forcing the shots to shooters, but rotating over the shooters. It was almost like the Raptors knew exactly where the pass was going to go. It's probably just good scouting on the part of the Raptors. But, you know, Booker threw a lot of cross-court passes to the weak side of the floor. And the Raptors were always meeting the shooter at the exact time the ball met the shooter. And so, you know, that produced either block threes. I think, by my count, the Raptors blocked four threes with Boucher blocking two of them, OG blocking one, and Pascal blocking one. But also, you know, the Raptors did a really good job of not only just pressuring that corner shooter when the pass came and blocking the shot, but sometimes even forcing turnovers by, you know, getting the guy to attack the closeout and for them to step out of bounds or them to have, you know, travels and things like that. I thought defensively they did a really good job against Booker. And Booker, you know, he found a couple ways through it. I mean, he's a really good player. He played a little bit faster. You know, there were gaps in the Raptors' defense in the second half. You know, he threw the over-the-top pass to Ayton a little bit more. He got a little bit more creative in terms of just finding the pass in the middle instead of the wing. But for the most part, the Raptors did a really good job defensively against Booker. If you told me he has 21 points on 18 shots and only has one three-pointer made, I'm taking that every single time. And so I thought defensively the Raptors came with a good plan. And, you know, this is where you got to just really credit the Raptors coaching staff and Nick Nurse and his staff. I mean, you know, Nick Nurse, I think there's already a pretty good case for him to win Coach of the Year. The team is 41-15, despite all the injuries, is amazing. But yeah, one of the things that the Raptors defense does really well is just they shut down number one guys. Number one guys cannot operate against the Raptors. It just has rarely happened all year. Sometimes they go to the extreme and they double team James Harden right at half court, and it leads to Ben McLemore threes or whatever. But for the most part, you're just not going to be able to play the way you want to against the Raptors. Like, they're going to make you go to your secondary options, your third options. And that's really, you know, the basis of a good defense is just, you know, they force you to find another way. And a lot of teams, they don't have another way to play. Like, the Suns, no, if Devin Booker's not awesome, like, the Suns probably aren't winning a lot of games that way. Especially now where they're not sharing the ball as much. So, defensively, I thought the game plan was really good. You know, one guy got a really shout out there is OG. Defensively, just OG. I mean, the four blocks for OG. I love when OG blocks shots. He totally has the capability to do it. You know, there are games where he's engaged, there are games where he's less engaged, things like that. But tonight was definitely an example of OG stepping up to the task and just like coming up with multiple plays. And what's really impressive about OG is that he blocks a lot of jumpers. And it's one-on-one, guys try to go at him, and he blocks your jumper. And that's rare, especially for good, really, really skilled offensive players like Devin Booker. Like, there's one play in the first half where Booker came out to pick and roll, you know, sort of probed inside, and then did a little step back for a mid-range jumper. And most defenders would not be able to get to that shot. First off, because defenses are trying to encourage mid-range pull-ups. And second of all, because, you know, you're stepping back in the mid-range. Like, generally speaking, there's not a lot of guys that are able to even contest a shot from a guy like Booker, who's 6'7". He'd pull up, you know, it's got good footwork, and OG still blocks him. And, you know, that's the ability that OG has defensively. Like, we saw it, obviously, in that game-winning block against, or game-saving block, I would say, against Caris LeVert in that Nets game. And, you know, OG just has that ability. I thought OG played really well tonight. The four blocks of steal, like, it's, again, similar to Pascal. His energy was much higher. It's a return to the start of the year where OG would consistently have games where he would have five combined block/steals. And whenever he does that, you know that he's definitely involved and he's definitely active. And he got a lot of minutes because of it. He played 39 minutes tonight from Nick Nurse, and he got a couple of backdoor layups and dunks. I thought Siakam's defense was really good as well. And, you know, the other guy I got to really praise is Rondae Hollis Jefferson. Like, man, can we just appreciate the fact that, okay, so Mark's out. It's obviously a very unfortunate situation. Hopefully his hamstring comes back and remains intact for the playoff run. But it is definitely concerning that at his age, you know, he seems to have this nagging leg injury. That's not what you want to hear. But at the same time, Rondae has really stepped up in the last couple of games. All right, just take this in for a second. Rondae has gone up, you know, obviously, let's put aside the Nets game, all right? Before the Nets game, the 15th win of the 15-game win streak, Rondae is up there guarding Karl Anthony Towns and doing a really damn good job at it. And arguably, in that game, outplaying Karl Anthony Towns, okay? And that's the number one pick of, I think, what, 2015? 15, 2016, whatever. Karl Anthony Towns, number one pick, overall pick for a center. Fast forward to today's game, going up against number one first overall pick, 2018, DeAndre Ayton. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson does a damn good job against Ayton. First off, Ayton is actually a guy who has really good touch, finishes plays really well. He has a hook shot. You know, that's not necessarily the most crafty guy, but definitely has a lot of strength and is good balance and everything like that. I mean, hey, he's the number one pick, right? First time Ayton goes against Rondae in the post. Rondae, first off, does a really good job fronting the post. Works like crazy, scraps, keeps the guy on his back, makes the pass over the top really difficult. And whenever he does actually eventually surrender position, Rondae does a really good job of holding his position, and he forces guys out. So the first time Ayton actually tried to go against Rondae in the post, which should be a mismatch, Ayton tossed the right back out, and the Suns got nothing out of it. And it was sort of that same pattern all night. I thought Rondae has, you know, in sort of back-to-back games, it's the same formula. He's 6'5", as he's told reporters now, and he's going up against seven-footers. And, you know, the actual scrap and tenacity that he shows, it's just really impressive. And you know, it makes you appreciate just, like, how much this guy wants to win. I mean, it's not easy. As a 6'5" guy trying to go up against a guy in 7 feet tall, and not even just against regular seven-footers. We're not talking about, like, you know, oh, man, he's fronting, you know, Ryan Hollins. What an exhausting job. Or, like, no, man, he's denying number one overall pick centers in the post, and he's doing a really good job of it. And offensively, you know, sure, there are problems. Rondae, you know, it's an adventure on offense. But, you know, it is interesting because I think Nick Nurse has sort of figured it out now where Rondae and Boucher are going to play it a lot together because they come off the bench together. And especially now that Marcus is out, like, these guys are going to play. And what he's basically figured out is they've switched the roles. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at 6'5" is the center, both offensively and defensively. All right. Offensively, because he can shoot and because Boucher can kind of shoot, Rondae is the target of pick and rolls. He's coming off the screen, and he's basically finding gaps where if he can sort of sneak in behind the defense and sort of get a quick layup on the glass or things like that, or draw a foul, that's basically the best-case scenario, and he's been doing that all right. And then defensively, you know, Boucher, he doesn't really front the post, and he's just a little bit too skinny to hold his position. At least Rondae's got a really solid base, and he can really fight and battle and make it really tough and just delay the offense in terms of just throwing the entry pass inside. So they've kind of inverted positions. Boucher, even though he's 7 feet tall, he's now playing power forward, and he's not as involved because of it, but... You know, Boucher as a help defender, I mean, you know, that's something where it could really activate him. One v one on one in the post, Boucher is not that great, but as a help defender rotating over to the rim, Boucher is really good. He had 4 blocks tonight. The Raptors did a really good job protecting the rim overall with 13 blocks on that night and also forcing 17 turnovers from the Suns. But yeah, everything kind of makes sense. And throw in the fact that Boucher can also guard on the perimeter. Like, this guy must lead the NBA in blocks. Block threes per minute. Like, it's actually nuts how many times Chris Boucher is able to have 1 foot in the paint and still somehow recover to the three-point line and block shots. And he's, generally speaking, not bad at guarding perimeter players. He's really good at moving his feet. He's quick, and obviously he can definitely challenge a shot. So, yeah, you know, things look good. Like, you know, Fred VanVleet had some incredible and-one-style layups. Two very memorable ones. That would have been the KC bucket of the game if it wasn't for Serge Ibaka banking in a three. And yeah, it was just, you know, it was a fun game. It's nice to get back into the swing of things. In terms of your three stars, I'm going to go with Pascal Siakam, obviously number one star. 37 points on 12 of 19 shooting with 5 of 9 from 3, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. So that's scoring every single level. You'll love to see that from Pascal. 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, plus 16, 38 minutes. Superstar performance. Nothing else needs to be said. Second star, I'm giving that to... I'm actually giving that to Fred VanVleet. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, plus 18, 36 minutes. I thought it was really steady as a point guard. Didn't even hit all his threes, but definitely was able to drive inside, cross over, finish. He had a really nice spin move against Kelly Oubre in transition where he completely left him in the dust and went in for the layup. And then another move where he sort of drove headfirst at DeAndre Ayton, crossed over and sort of snuck in the reverse layup. Fred's got all the moves, man. And Fred was really in control, really steady tonight, and played really well in terms of with Pascal Siakam in that two-man game. They're always very good in terms of that chemistry, dating back to when they came into league together, went to the G League together, won a G League championship, came off the bench together, and, you know, won an NBA championship together. Turns out you get a lot of chemistry when you do all that stuff together. And then your third star, yeah, there's a couple ways you can go with it. For me personally, I'm going to go with OG Anunoby. 12 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 4 blocks, 5 of 9 shooting from the field. The only knock I had with OG is that he missed some open threes, and he left 2 layups on the rim that he should have really finished. But overall, defensively, the energy was there. His on-ball defense against Booker was one of the big keys to winning this game. So, you know, that's a good performance there. But, you can, of course, you can give it to Serge. You can give it to Rondé. You can give it to, you know, even Terrence Davis off the bench. There's a lot of good things happened tonight. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, that, I mean, you know what? I'm going to give it to Javon Carter, all right? First off, this guy, this Foot Locker employee in training, yeah, I mean, he definitely did a really good PJ Tucker impersonation, was very annoying and pesky, pressed Kyle Lowry up and down the floor, even forced Kyle Lowry into a backcourt violation, and, you know, just generally was super annoying. You know, the Suns didn't get a lot of great performances tonight, so it's hard to pick one, but hey, he was a plus 7 in 12 minutes, and he was mad annoying and kind of reminded me of PJ Tucker, you know. So, yeah, there you go, Javon Carter. I mean, yeah, he's a solid player. He was a solid player with the Grizzlies, too. But, yeah, definitely mad annoying tonight. And so, yeah, that does it for the podcast. I know some people want me to bring back the Pat Patterson Award because he continues to just put his foot on his mouth. yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. He's just, yeah, I'm done with Pat, man. I'm just, it's over, whatever. He's, yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen it already, he had some thoughts on the Lakers-Clippers game being rescheduled and you know, due to, obviously, the circumstances in which were that Kobe Bryant and his daughter and 7 others, you know, died in a plane crash. Like, can you not understand the circumstances and work with it? I don't understand. Also, you're Patrick Patterson. Like, who cares? But still, the guy's irrelevant. I don't want to make him relevant at all with anything. So, that does it for the podcast. Actually, one more thing I got to say, a programming note. So if you have been watching the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show with me and Josh Hart, first off, thank you for doing it. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for leaving messages on the KFC hotline, which you can do by dropping a voice note to the as a direct message to the Yahoo Sports Canada Instagram page. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get questions. Love to get hot takes, whatever you want. But yeah, if you have been watching the Raptors Everything Live call-in show, we're actually moving that time away from the Friday time slot of 3:30 p.m. they're moving the bleachers behind me. Yeah, we're moving that time slot from 3:30 on Fridays to 6 p.m. on Mondays. So look out for that. It's still going to be in the same place. It's still going to be streamed on YouTube. So you can look for that. But yeah, the time changes now from Friday to Monday. So we just did a show today. We got calls from Vitaly, everything like that. It was a great time. But we are also going to come back to you on Monday. So look out for that at 6 p.m. It's still the same format, still everything else. Still going to be an hour. It's still going to be a good time. And then the other program we know is just like thanks to everyone for hanging in there. I realized that there was no post-game podcast and post-game coverage after the Raptors lost to the Nets. Granted, you probably didn't want any because that game just boiled down to everyone was tired and no one could hit shots, whatever. But, you know, thanks everyone for listening to the episode of the Raptors winning their 15th straight game. I recorded that on my laptop because I didn't bring a microphone and the mixer and everything like that to my vacation. So that's why the sound sounded more warbly than usual. But I appreciate everyone hanging in there. I'm very happy to be back. You know, it's, you know, I had a great time in Mexico. You know, the weather was amazing. When I left, it was 30 degrees. And when I landed in Pearson, it was minus 10. So that 40 degree change was not great. But, you know, I was super excited to come back, honestly, just because, like, I missed the team. I really, as like everyone else, I love the Raptors. And this team is irresistible. I want to watch them every single day. And I'm very happy they're back. So appreciate everyone sort of holding down. And of course, you know, big shouts to Alex and Ashley and Ben and everyone who has sort of held down running back and everything like that, all our Raptor coverage at Yahoo Sports Canada during my vacation. But I'm back, and yeah, everything's good. Oh, and also one more thing. I'm also teaching a class, oddly enough. It's a class that involves four lectures. It's for Flying Books TO. And yeah, I'm teaching a seminar kind of thing on covering basketball. So if you are someone who is interested in sort of learning, not necessarily about just writing, but just covering and sort of the social media age and you know, podcasting and video and social and everything like that, I'm going to be teaching class, and I will have Alex Wong and Blake Murphy as guest lecturers on two of those, and we're going to watch a game together in the fourth lesson. I think that will be the last game of the season against the Orlando Magic. So it's really fun. And if you want you know, more details on that class, you can find it in my Twitter at William_Lou. But yeah, that's enough programming notes for now. The Raptors are back in the winning column. Pascal looks refreshed and is playing like a superstar. Things are very, very good. So thanks everyone for listening. I'll be back on the Reaction Podcast on Sunday when the Raptors play the Pacers again for some reason.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.